Man, was that not amazing? I feel like the only thing I need to say is, hey, amen, we're dismissed. Man, this has been an amazing service thus far. You know, it's great when we get a chance to participate, when we get a chance to use the talents that God has given us. As we continue in this worship service this morning, you guys see this spider up here and this fly. I want to share something with you about this spider and this fly. It says the spider is a cunning insect. It spins an almost invisible web across the path of its prey and then patiently waits for unsuspecting insects to pass by. Then, when a bug falls into the web, it soon becomes entangled, and it's at the spider's mercy. Now that the insect is caught in the spider's web, the spider will secure it more and more by wrapping it with more and more webs at its leisure. And then its final destination is to suck the nourishment from it. Satan is the biggest spider of all. He lurks unseen in the background and relies on his many web of lies and deceit to catch his prey. Like the spider, he doesn't usually chase his prey. He waits for them to come to him. Satan has spun many near invisible webs to entangle us, webs that appeal to our pride, our self-righteousness, our lust for power, our success, our popularity, our wealth, our fame, and so on. No matter what sort of person we are, Satan has spun a web that can catch us. Once entangled, we are at his mercy, and it's very hard to break free. Soon, we are so entwined that the only purpose we can possibly serve is to nourish Satan's plans. This morning, as we get into God's words, we're going to talk about some ways to help us not get caught in Satan's webs. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, this morning we come to you thanking you, God, that we get a chance to hear your words, God, that we get a chance to learn more about you. Father God, I pray right now that you help me to only say what you want me to say, Father. God, I pray that you soften our hearts, Father, so that we hear what you're speaking to us this morning. God, we love you so much. We thank you so much. We pray that you are pleased with our act of worship this morning. God, all these things we ask and pray in your holy and precious Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. My first point this morning, who are you? See, in order to not get up in Satan's webs, first of all, we need to know who we are. Like, we need to know, what are some things that I like? What are some things I like doing? What are some things that could possibly end up getting me caught in one of Satan's webs or one of Satan's many webs? And I think a lot of times, like the other insects, we can just be unsuspecting. We can just be going on with our lives, not ever sometimes having a care in the world. And when we know anything, we're entwined. And we're like, whoa, how did I get here? How did I get caught up in this? And God is telling us, hey, listen, help you not get caught up in Satan's webs. Turn with me over to Acts 19, and we're going to look at a couple of things here that I think God is going to use to help us this morning. In Acts 19, starting in verse 11, it reads, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, chief priests, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believe now came and openly confessed what they had done. You know, I love this passage. You know, every time I read it, first after I get through laughing about it, it kind of hits home. You know, you think about, man, here is a Jewish priest, and here is, you know, the seven sons of Sceva. So imagine this. These guys are going around proclaiming things that Paul and the other brothers had done. And so they're doing all these things, and they're saying, hey, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, you know, you demons, come out of these guys. Not realizing what had actually taken place, that the power that Paul had to drive out demons wasn't the same power that they were trying to use. This morning, we have to ask ourselves, you know, kind of like the seven sons of Sceva and the Jewish here, you know, whose power are we using right now? Is this on my own accord? Am I doing this on my own accord? Or am I doing this with the power that Jesus gave me? Do we live lives in such a way that Satan knows your name? You know, Satan, it was clear these demons said, hey, I know Jesus and I know of Paul, but who are you? That's a question we all have to ask ourselves this morning. Who are you? Is your life so impactful that even the demons know, man, I know who that person is. I'm standing clear. Do the people at your job know who you are? Do the people at your school know who you are? Do the people in this church know who you are? You know, a couple of years back, I had a job, and I had a boss who, he would come in and out of town. He would come to the job for a couple of days, and then he'd fly back out of town. And when he come to the job, man, he just had all this energy, and he was, I mean, he just energized, you know, the building. He energized our team. And we were thinking, wow, this is a great guy. I really, really want to imitate this guy. One Friday, the FBI came to our company. And they said, hey, we've been receiving bomb threats from computers in this building. And we're like, no way. So our owner, you know, he shut everything down. All the computers shut down. So then the fire trucks came. The police came. All these different people came. Then the FBI agent comes back and says, we think that there is a Al-Qaeda operative that's here. And we were like, no way. And I'm feeling kind of crazy because I'm like, I hired most of these guys. And so I'm thinking, wow, will they be looking at me as part? But imagine the fear that goes through that when you hear that. You're thinking, bomb that. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting out of here. You guys can figure out what needs to happen. But the more and the more things were being revealed, we found that one of our managers was actually the one who was doing this, the same manager that everybody just looked at and was just like, wow, this guy's the best thing since sliced bread. Not really knowing who this person was. because he had a face for one day and a face for a different day. And I think as Christians, it is so easy sometimes to do that. It's so easy to have our Sunday face. You know, I like to call it our holy face. You know, we really like to, you know, come to church and praise and worship. And then we put on our real face Monday. We put on the face of, I don't want to go get up and go to this job. I don't want to be bothered with the people at my job. I'm tired. I really don't even want to be here. And that's the face we carry on Monday and Tuesday until Wednesday. And I got to scrounge back around and find my holy face again because I'm going back to church Wednesday night. And I need everybody in here to see my holy face. I don't need you guys to see my unrighteous face. I want to look holy to everybody. Who am I? Who are you? The scripture says the demons recognize Jesus. The demons recognize Paul. Today we have to ask ourselves, do they recognize me? Am I just a face that just blend in with the crowd? Or have I made such an impact for Jesus that they know exactly who I am? When I walk in the room, they shudder. They get afraid. Or when I walk in the room, are they high-fiving? I pray today, guys, that we are people who cause them to shudder. You know, the last month we've been talking about using our talents, using our voices. This is what God is talking about. I definitely think Paul used his voice. I definitely think Paul used his talents. Turn with me over to Philippians 2. In Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And for time's sake, we won't read it all. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. And I'll stop right there for a time's sake. You know, Paul talks about how we have to take a certain nature, like how we have to take the very nature of God. And sometimes that can be hard, right? You know, we read about the qualities and characteristics of God, but until we really know who we are, it's hard to take on another characteristic. It's hard to do anything different. You know, just think about our jobs. You know, as we go to work, we have certain jobs that we're paid to do, right? Mind you, not just asked, we're paid to do certain jobs. And sometimes our boss will come in and say, hey, I also need you to do this. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Do I get extra pay if I do that? And we have to be careful because sometimes we can bring that mindset into the church. Wait a minute, God, you want me to do what? Do I get a bigger room in heaven if I do that? Because I got baptized and this is my job. I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray every day. I'm good with that. Now, you're asking me to do what? You're asking me to take on another whole nature? You want me to be exactly like Jesus Christ? Okay, I'll work on it. But, you know, it's kind of like that with them. What's in it for me? If I do that, what do I get? And I know the first 5, maybe even 10 years of my life, I had that mentality. I wanted to do great things for God, but it was like, okay, as long as it stays within this box, as long as it doesn't rattle my comfortability, I'm fine. You can ask me to do anything as long as it stays within my comfortability range. But once you ask me to go outside of that, wait a minute. I need to, let me see that in the Bible. Let me see exactly where it says that. And then let me go and pray about it. Because I don't remember that being in the discipleship, word, cross, or kingdom study. I need to see this again so I can get my heart right. And I remember bringing that mentality into the church. And just because I came into church and got baptized, don't mean that mentality went away. Right? You know, it's kind of like a tail. It's just going to follow you around, you know. And so we have to be very careful. This is why we have to know who we are. Because without knowing who we are, it'll be so easy for us to get entangled in things that we shouldn't be entangled in. Turn with me last scripture over here in James 2. And in James 2, in verse 14, it says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, by faith, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead." I love this passage so much because it reminds me that, you know what? God does ask and require us to do some things. Sometimes he asks us to do some things that may be a little bit outside of our faith. Sometimes God asks us to do things that we may feel, this is not my job. This might be the job of the staff. Maybe this is the job of the elders. Maybe this is the job of the deacons. That's not my job. I don't have a title in the church. So, you know what? Hey, go over here. And remember I told you those first 5, 10 years of my life as a Christian, I had that mentality. I had the mentality when it came to serving. It's not my job. I'll come and encourage, but it's not my job to get there early and help out with that. They never talked to me about that when I was studying the Bible, so how are you going to spring that up on me now? And I didn't say it, but I felt it in my heart. They never talked to me about you fill in the blank. And God tells us, hey, listen, you know what? It is about our faith. It is about us serving. Because we can have the greatest intentions, but without our deeds, it means absolutely nothing. You know, we have to remember that the deeds that we do is so important. It's going to impact, like Ty said, not just this generation, but generations to come. The only thing that separates us from demons is our deeds. The Bible clearly says even the demons believe and shudder. The demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God and shudder. We believe the same thing. The only thing is our deeds allow us to put that faith into action. And as Christians, that's how we should be living every day. Because we believe Jesus is the Son of God, there should be actions behind that. Because I believe Jesus is the Son of God, guess what? Man, I should be serving my brothers and sisters because I see them in need. And see, we think of the needs as, oh, well, maybe somebody needs a ride to work, or, oh, somebody needs food, or, oh, somebody needs help with paying bills. Those are needs, and that's true. However, there are other needs in the church. The sound guys, they get here pretty early to set up this stage so everyone here can hear and see and have a great time. Does our faith lead us to go and help them? The musicians and the singers, they work so hard, guys. I'm telling you, they work so hard. I'm so grateful for these guys. I got a taste of it this month, and I appreciate their hearts. They don't do it for recognition. They don't do it for acknowledgement. They do it because it's the heart. There's a gratitude there. And I'm not saying the rest of us don't have that gratitude. I'm just saying, hey, when we know who we are, then there are some things that we can start doing. Right? Amen. Moving on. My second point. In order to do these things, guys, there are some things that we have to give up. With knowing ourselves, we know that there are a lot of things in our lives that shouldn't be. And we know, wow, if I'm going to make the impact that I need to make for Jesus, that I want to make for Jesus, there are some things I need to give up. This is kind of how we look at that when we become Christians. We look at it as, man, these are mine. And God asks us to give up some things. And we're like, but wait a minute, God, I love this. I love this comfortability. God, I love my life. And God is saying, just trust me. He's saying that to each and every one of us. God is asking us to trust him. And we're kind of like the little girl, but God, I love it. What is it that we love? What is it that we love? And that's what we have to ask ourselves, because the answer is always whatever it is that we love, God wants to give us so much more of it. God wants to give us so much more, but we're afraid to let go and trust God. Luke 18, verse 26. Turn there with me real quick. And here, this is a passage that we've read many times. And as I was reading this again last night, something really helped me to connect to really giving up what Jesus is asking me to give up. In verse 18, it says, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Giving up things to follow Jesus. Jesus makes it real clear that we all still lack one thing. Now, there's many people in this room. I don't know what's the one thing you lack. But I do know the one thing I lack, right? And this is what we're talking about. Man, who are you? Because when we get real and take to heart, okay, I'm lacking in this area, God. When we start giving up things, we have to ask ourselves, man, do we really say, but I love this. God, I love being sexually immoral. God, I love smoking. I love cursing. God, I love doing things the way I want to do them. These are things that God asks us to give up. God, I love sleeping in late at times when God may be asking you to get up early and come serve. God, I love just using my talents in my own shower. And God may be saying, but I need you to use them to encourage the entire congregation. Sometimes we have to give up things, but sometimes we have to give up mindsets. And that's where it gets hard. Okay, I don't mind giving up this, but God, you're asking me to give up the way I've been taught my entire life. I've been thinking this way all my life, and now you want me to give it up? That's asking a bit much. And God is like, hey, but look what I have behind my back for you. What if we just trusted God with all of our heart one time? How crazy would that look if every person in this room just decided, God, today, if no other day, I'm just going to trust you with everything I have. Whatever it is I need to give up, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a job that keeps me from worshiping with you. God, whatever it is, whether it's the clothing I like to wear that may be inappropriate, whether it's the conversations I have with people that makes me feel good because they really cherish me when I come around. Whatever it is, God, I'm willing to give it up today. I'm willing to give it up right now. Imagine if all of us made that collective decision. What would this church look like? Once we make those decisions, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, God is going to continue to do some amazing things. You know, it's hard for us to do that because we have fear. We have doubt. You don't have to turn there. But Matthew 19, 26 says, you know what? With man, all those things are impossible. It's hard to do that with man, right? But with God, everything is possible. Everything. Everything is possible. So I want us all to be cognizant of that, that God can do immeasurably more than we could ever hope for or imagine. And in closing, the other way that we can avoid Satan's traps and tangles and snares is by getting involved. Getting involved can mean so many things. Getting involved, especially in God's church, is by one another relationships. What is relationships? Ephesians 4 says a one another relationship is being completely humble and gentle, being patient, bearing with one another in love. Philippians 2 says a one another relationship is in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5 says a one another relationship is therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. To get involved, God is saying that, you know what? These are scriptures that's going to help us. Because we can look at one another relationships and think hierarchy. Or think, been there, done that. But the scriptures are clear. It says be completely humble. When I'm completely humble, guess what? And if you're completely humble, guess what? There is no hierarchy because it's all about God. It says in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Guess what? If you have the mindset that Jesus have and I have the mindset that Jesus have, that's going to be a great relationship, isn't it? Lastly, it says encourage one another and build one another up. Imagine in these one another relationships, if I'm encouraging you, you're encouraging me, I'm building you up, you're building me up, what would we look like? What type of Christians could we be? How impactful would we be for God if we are always encouraged and always built up? That's a one another relationship, right? Also, we also need to use our talents. Getting involved with using our talents It's not just, hey, I'm a singer or, you know, I'm a musician. Using our talents go way, way far above that. Using your talents starts in your heart, right? That's where your talents are. 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Whatever we do, it's to glorify God. When we serve, it's so that God can get glory. It's not that we can have a great band. It's not that we can have a great AV team. It's not that we can have incredible ushers. We do it, we serve, so God can get glory. Right? That's it. No more, no less. Romans 12, 6 through 8. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace God gives each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then encourage. Encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. God has given each and every one of us a gift in here. Are we using them? More importantly, are we using them to glorify God? If it's to encourage, man, we should be the biggest encouragers in here. If it's to lead, we should do it diligently. Whatever God has allotted for you in your life, do it according to the grace and the mercy that God has shown you. Not according to what we think it should be. A lot of times we don't use our gifts and our talents because we worry about what other people think. I haven't read anywhere in these scriptures where it talks about anybody other than God. When it comes to gifts, it has nothing to do with people. It's all about God. In every scripture you see in the Bible, these gifts are for God, and God allows us to use them to encourage others. I get to benefit from you guys' gifts. That's amazing. Like, God didn't give me the gift to sing. I wish I had it. But I get to benefit from these guys up here singing. I get to be encouraged by it. You know, God didn't give me the ability to be, you know, 6'5 and handsome and chiseled. But I get to benefit from that every time I see Burrell and Perry, all these tall, handsome studs walking around here. I get to benefit because I get to tell people, hey, these are my friends. If they take a picture, I want to take a picture with them. So they're not going to laugh at those big guys. I wasn't born with a whole lot of muscles. But I can sure hang out with Derek Brewer. And if anybody got anything to say, please see Derek. You know, I can do that. We can all benefit from each other. But we can only do that when each one of us are using our talents. If not, we know what the scripture says. So guys, today, I pray that we don't get caught up in Satan's webs. I pray that we take the time and we think through, you know, who we are today. I pray that we take the time to give up the things that we need to give up in our lives. And I pray that today we get involved so that God can use us and the talents that he's given us. Thank you guys so much. To God be the glory.
God, we know that you're pleased this morning because you heard younger voices, a new generation, young men and women who are going to grow up not only physically, but we pray that they will grow up in their love, in their faith, in their knowledge of you. Thank you so much for using Tony in the scriptures to help us understand who we are. Without you, God, we're in the darkness. However, today, because we have you, we have the Holy Bible, we have hope in your lives. Help us to be willing to have hearts to give up, because Jesus gave up his life so that we could have the opportunity to have our relationship with you. Help us to accumulate treasures in heaven and not on earth. Thank you so much for your love, for your kindness, for your mercy. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.